What's going on, Try Hard Podcast listeners? We are back with another episode. I told you guys we're going to stay consistent, upload at least one episode a week. Today we got a very, very good episode. This person, she is not in Call of Duty. I know you guys are used to Call of Duty shit, right? And I told you guys I'm going to try to venture off to other esports. This is going to be a good one, all right? Because this is a topic that I'm very, very interested in. I'm very interested in for certain reasons. But before we get into that, let's bring in our guest. She's had a crazy last 2 weeks. So we're here to just kind of relax, talk, and we'll get into this shit a little bit. But I want to introduce you guys. Please welcome Magic Moonshot. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. I'm great. It's Friday. Got everything done I needed to for the week. Excited for the weekend. So doing good.
First off, I want to say thank you because you were streaming before you came on here. So you were getting to some games. How did the stream go?
It started off like the games were rough. I think it's something about the Friday night ranked games. I was struggling, and then so I lost the first two games, and then I went on a mini win streak at the last three wins in a row. So I ended up exactly where I left off at Diamond 4, pretty much a net zero. But I guess good practice, good reps at least. So you know, it's worthwhile trying to keep the thumbs fresh for some Halo.
Exactly. One thing I've learned from gaming, especially when you get into the competitive stuff, Fridays, everyone's pumped to play.
I think so.
You're getting the best of the, like, they're on their shit that day. So you better be on your shit when you get on ranked with Halo and Call of Duty. Fridays and then Saturday mornings in the afternoon, everyone's just cracked out. So everyone's reaction time is crazy. All the good players are on. It's just, yeah, it gets crazy on weekends.
Yeah, I guess the positive side, though, is that you find games quickly, right? Because, exactly, like, yeah, Everybody's gaming. So, you know, there's a little bit of pros and cons. But, like, the difference from playing games Wednesday night to Friday night was, like, is this the same game? Like, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah. So, one thing that I kind of go through your journey in esports. How did you get involved in esports? Not even Halo, just how did you get involved in esports, period?
Yes, I've been in like content creation, gaming, esports for 7.5 years now. So I started back in 2016.
That's exactly when I started. Exactly.
Yeah,
when I started.
Okay. But before that, I was really in traditional athletics. I played a lot of soccer, basketball, volleyball, etc. I was an athletic director. I was a coach, PE teacher, all of that. But then at some point, you know, I had always been enjoying video games and playing games, and I kind of wanted to shift my attention to the gaming side. So I started out with Destiny, did a lot of trial stuff in the original Destiny 1, did some Destiny 2, did some Apex Legends, some Fortnite when that was new. Mm-hmm. And then when Halo Infinite came out, switched over, but a lot of the focus was not always on like ranked play. It was a lot of focus on like playing with friends, community stuff. It was also running events. So I guess my first start with esports was just running my own kind of community-based tournaments that were really small. And I've run, I think, hundreds at this point, but at least dozens. I can safely say dozens of events that I just ran on my own channel just as ways to like get the community involved. Always enjoyed spotlighting, highlighting other people's talents,
yeah,
and showcasing that. And so that was kind of my first intro into esports.
And you cast too, right?
Yeah. So with the, like hosting my own tournaments, I kind of was like the jack of all trades, right? Like I would come up with the rule sets, I would build the bracket, I would market the event, I would handle registration. And then when it was time for the live event, I would like host and commentate the tournaments on my own. So I kind of fell into casting without really having a long-term goal, just as part of the process of hosting community events.
Yeah, you were doing everything else. Why not put that shit in there as well?
Yeah, because I just wanted it to be a fun show, right? Like I wanted it to be an engaging broadcast for viewers to watch, tournaments, and again as a way to like highlight the competitors and showcase their skills. So casting just kind of like was a piece of that like overall puzzle. And then when Halo Infinite came out, so more recently, like 2 years ago, I was playing Destiny 2 at the time, but I was like, you know, I really kind of miss like doing commentating casting. So I switched over to Halo Infinite from Destiny 2 with the specific intent of getting involved in casting, which kind of caught on maybe more quickly than I would have even anticipated.
And yeah, so we're Halo. Halo's had, I mean, the esport in by itself has had a crazy roller coaster of, it's a roller coaster of emotions with Halo, right?
Sure.
You guys were popping, then it went down, and then now it's, it looks, feels like it's kind of coming back up. Talk about a little bit, especially for someone like you who started, you kind of started in the time frame, same as me, where esports was just really starting to bubble and pop off, right? And yeah. we were, I think I would say our class of people who joined esports was like the last one before the cutoff, before it really got to where it is now, where it's just, you know, esports is, you know, obviously we've had, you know, ups and downs the last 2 years, COVID and all that stuff. But Halo was really interesting because as far as FPS games in North America, Halo was at one point was really that one that everyone really looked at as far as in, you know, a competitive sport, esport.
Yeah.
What was it like to be a part of like the Halo competitive community and just those up and downs of like your esport being up top and then dropping? And then I just remember that to this day, I remember that picture, the Halo finals or championship. In some like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Like that tent or whatever.
Balloons outside?
Yeah. Like,
which, okay, what I've heard from that picture is that it was an overflow
viewing that, facility, exactly.
Not the actual tournament. But people still use it for, you know.
Exactly. The meme, but it was all over. And I just remember like all those type of situations, you know, the optic and, you know, just the height of the esport. What was it like to be a part of like that? Like, from getting in before it was going crazy to watching it go crazy to it going down. Like, what was that like?
Yeah, so Halo Infinite has had an interesting kind of lifespan. But, like, when the title, like, first kicked off, you know, there was decent viewership and decent numbers and players and stuff. And that was kind of when I was building, I guess, my position within the game title. So, you know, I was still kind of like learning and growing and getting established as when the game was really popular. When things started to kind of, you know, die off a little bit with Halo Infinite, by then I was a little bit more like established. I had more opportunities. I had, you know, improved and grown as a caster. But I was enjoying the title for playing, for streaming, for casting, regardless of if it was, you know, at the height of popularity or if it was in a decline. In fact, I think that sometimes, like, our job as casters, commentators is to, like, remain consistent whether a game has, you know, a million viewers or 100,000, you know?
Exactly.
Like, wherever it is there, like, your passion for that game shouldn't change based off of the popularity of it.
Exactly.
So that's kind of was my stance was, I love this game. I love commentating this gameplay. So however many people tune in to watch is not going to really make a difference in me wanting to give a quality broadcast.
Yeah, that casters, I mean, you know, is especially coming from Call of Duty, you know, there will be, especially when the CDL is going on, there will be matches where you have, you know, the top team playing the worst team.
Yes.
And
yes.
The casters will, if it's a good casting group, right? If it's a good duo, you'll think that it's a goddamn the championship. You know what I mean? And it's
I love that. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the part. That's the whole reason. Like, that's the part. A major part of a caster's job is like keep us entertained, keep us involved in the game, even if it's a blowout. Like, keep me. You know what I mean? And shit, I've come to have my favorite casters up just because they do that. They do those things where they really keep us entertained, even when the score is 230 to 40 in a hard point. It's like there's no chance, but the cast, a good caster will make you believe like, hey, they could still do it. They chain a couple hills, and you know, even though there's no shot, but yeah, you gotta love casters. In my opinion, are a huge part of an esport as far as like growing the popularity and really engaging with that first time viewer. That person who's on Twitch or YouTube or Kick or whatever, that they've never watched esports and they click on it. What the hell is this? If it's a good caster, they'll keep that new viewer and hopefully, you know, turn into a new fan. So yeah, casters are a huge aspect of esports that I don't think people like understand how valuable they are.
Yeah, so, I agree with what you're saying. I think that a lot of the caster's job is storytelling and then also kind of directing the attention of the viewer. And it's a wide range of the audience, right? You were talking about new viewers. I think new viewers are important to get them engaged early on in the cast, but also for experienced, you know, competitors, right? You also want to be able to appeal to them, which is one of the challenges of casting is, you know, trying to give a little bit of something for everybody in that range from brand new first time viewer to someone who, you know, knows all the ins and outs of the game or of the teams or of the players, etc.
So I also saw that I was on your page and I seen that you were thinking about maybe doing some competing.
Yeah. I mean,
what made that, what made you want to bring that back?
I got dropped from all my casting opportunities. And so I've never been wanting to be part of Halo. Like I said, I joined Halo Infinite with the intention of getting into the casting side.
Yeah.
So I played in one tournament that before I started like really getting into commentary and casting. And so now it's just like, well, I'm not allowed to commentate and cast these tournaments. Well, maybe I should play them because I still love this game. I still want to, you know, be a part of it. And so I guess it was kind of that, like, okay, like what now? And how do we, you know, take, you know, an unfortunate set of circumstances and like, you know, how do we kind of, you know, build off of like where you find yourself? So that was like the next idea. I was like, hey, I could actually play because I've never had the option to really compete in tournaments.
Yeah,
because I've always tried to be free for the broadcast.
And that makes sense because I feel like anybody who's involved in esports, especially if you're really involved, like the way you are, the way I am, we always have that little competitive. Like, there's a reason why we're involved in this this competitive thing. There's competitive shit in us still, even if we're old and we're not as fast as everybody else. Our reaction time is like a snail compared to these other kids. we still got it. So it makes perfect sense still one. I mean, I'll forget sometime. I'll be playing ranked play in Call of Duty, and I'm competitive as well. I'll be playing against somebody and I get mad because I lost. Then I'll realize you probably just lost to like some 18-year-old kid whose reaction time is three times better than yours. Why are you mad? But yeah, it's just, we can't help it. We're in competitive esports for a reason. Even if we are casters, org owners, whatever, content creators, it's because we're competitive people. So it makes perfect sense. So now that we, you know, got a little background on your origin story, I like to call it, in the Halo esports scene. Couple weeks, was it like 2 weeks now since everything happened?
Yes.
So let me tell you something. All right. So especially now with, you know, the way X it, or Twitter X, whatever you want to call it these days, you know, that has that for normally I have my feed on following. I don't see nothing. For some reason that day I saw a tweet. And I was in the For You section. I don't know how it happened, whatever. My fat thumb probably hit it when it was supposed to, whatever. And I seen somebody quoted a tweet about you. It wasn't your tweet, but it was a tweet somebody made about you, and then someone reposted that. And it was calling you a transphobic blah, blah, blah. Sure. I said, oh, shit. Okay. And at first I'm like, who is this? I'm like, I don't know anybody with that name in Call of Duty, right? So I'm like, all right, well, then, I looked at my thing and it said, oh, I'm on the For You section. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. So I click on the tweet, and then I just see just comments of just, you know, just things I don't want to say. Just not good things. I'm like, Jesus, what did this? I thought they were talking about a guy. I thought you were a guy at first. Yeah. I'm like, what did this dude do? Like, Jesus, what is freaking just every horrible name you can think of that you can say on X now. And so I'm like, let me go see who this bro is. Like, what did he say? He must have got out of pocket. And then I seen the tweet that you put up. I'm gonna read this tweet. Mind you, the reason why I wanted you on this podcast, this is an issue that in normal society is something that is very, very, people are very, very involved. People get really emotional. It's this side versus this side, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, esports, gaming in general, this is, you know, like, this is something that I felt like we should have capped everybody. I'm talking about me, you, everybody. This was supposed to be our escape, right?
Yeah.
That's what the whole point of it was. At the end of my day, when my kids are sleeping, my wife's sleeping, I get to come in my setup, put a Call of Duty, and get mad at some strangers because I suck, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, the stuff that's going on outside of gaming in the political world, the cultural world, has made its way into our space, right? And again, I want people to know things, right? I want you to have an opinion. Everyone should have an opinion, right? The problem is that everybody's cultural differences, they've brought it to this space, and that same emotion, that same anger, they've brought to this space, right? Now, I pulled up the tweet, right?
Sure.
And again, the reason why, one of the reasons why I brought you, because I'm very passionate about this. I own an organization called Three Kings. In the Call of Duty scene, the female scene has been growing, right? It's been growing. But they've been kind of stagnant. So I had an idea. I said, you know what? Why don't I pick up a female team? But obviously with the name Three Kings, it's Kings, right? So I'm like, if I want a team, I'm going to have to like have another team name, like a rebrand, right?
Sure.
So I came up with a team called Queens Chaos, right? Playing off the whole Kings, Queens, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
I got myself a team, got involved in the female Call of Duty scene. And I was not prepared, all right? But that's a whole other issue. Anyway, so I get a team in the FPC, it's called, Female Pro Circuit. And I'm like, cool, you know. I feel like, you know, I want to help females get some eyeballs. There are a lot of good female players, a lot. In both.
Wait, when was this, real quick, just for context?
A couple months ago.
Oh, okay. It's recent.
So
it's,
yeah, exactly. Okay. So now, and I'm just kind of giving you a story on why I really got involved with this in the esports side. So. Yeah. I'm excited, right? I'm like, oh, cool. I have a really good team. We have a good chance of winning the whole thing, right? And I'm seeing the FPC, the league, they were doing like kind of like test scrims on their Twitch channel to like get ready for the upcoming season to make sure the audio is good. Yeah. You know what I mean? That type of shit. So I'm like, oh, let me see how their stream looked. Stream looked awesome, right? They did the listening. I'm like, oh, shit, they do listenings? That's awesome. Like, that's really cool. They go to the one team, you know, it's funny, you're hearing these girls, I don't think they even realized they were doing listenings, they're swearing, they're, you know, just talking like nowhere to talk. Hilarious stuff.
They're gamers, man. They're gamers.
Exactly. They're laughing. It's a good time. Then they go to the other team. And then I start the girls, and then I hear a very manly voice. I'm like, what's that? Is that a caster? What is that? Mind you, I have a team in the female pro circuit.
Yeah.
So I'm not I'm not even, I'm, that's all that stuff is even, it's not even in my thought process, right? And I hear this manly voice, really deep voice like mine, making calls. I'm like, oh shit, that's a player. Somebody's playing. Now I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's like just a fill in, or, you know, it's just whatever. So I go to my girls, we in our text chat, in our Twitter chat. I said, hey, I was curious. I need to know, right? I need to know. So hey, I'm like, why did I hear a dude's voice? And I said this. If you get mad because I said it, I don't care. I'm telling you what I said. I'm not gonna lie and sugarcoat it. I said, yo, why did I hear a dude's voice in the blah blah blah, the listening? And then one of the girls responded. She says, yeah, there's trans players. I'm like, oh, okay. Now, mind you, I didn't have a problem with it, but then my wheel started spinning, and I'm like, wait, why are we in the female pro circuit then? Why not just call it a Call of Duty league or a pro circuit? Or why do we have female in it, right? Then I realized, oh, there's not just one trans person claiming to be trans. There's multiple. So now my head's scratching. I'm like, again, this is something I didn't even expect to be a thing. I didn't expect to encounter this. I'm talking to my wife about it because I'm confused, you know? And that's what really got me really interested in this topic. That's why when stuff was happening with you.
Yeah.
And I seen everything going on. And listen, people have the same thoughts that we have. People have the same, you know, morals, the same way of life that we kind of try to live by. They're just scared to say it, right? Which is very, very sad, okay? So that whole season, I mean, it was just that thing became an issue for everybody. This girl's getting called transphobic. DMs are getting leaked. This person said this. One girl, I think, got banned for being transphobic. It's literally transphobic in my Twitter timeline all fucking day from the female pro circuit, right? And what bothered me is a lot of these things, a lot of these people, a lot of these girls who were being accused of being transphobic weren't saying anything that I would consider transphobic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was stuff like misgendering somebody. Small things like that, you know? Again, this is something that's new to our, you know, to a lot of people. Yeah. To me, like I'm 30 fucking five. So this is, too. This is exactly, this is
80s.
Yeah. We're yeah, exactly. This is some new shit for me. So when I seen everything going on with you and I seen it was outrage.
Yeah.
It was outrage. You would have thought that Magic executed someone on Twitter. Like physically, right? With the type of outrage. So at first, my evil mind thought, I need to get her on the podcast right now. That's going to be huge views. It's going to be huge, you know, that, right? Then I realized, no, we're not going to do that. Not because I don't want to hear from you, but I want this shit to die down. So this girl, can have some peace before she gets back into really addressing it. Have you done any other podcasts? Anything other than that?
I did one earlier tonight, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wasn't taking any like podcast interviews until this week.
Exactly.
So a lot of people approached me like immediately following,
yeah,
or even last week, and I said, "You're gonna have to like give me some more time."
Exactly.
Because I wanted to decide like what I wanted to speak on. So, and also, I've been around this space long enough to know that when people genuinely want to have a conversation with you, or when they want to use you for a hot topic,
exactly,
I wasn't ready to be used.
Yeah,
or somebody else's views.
And that's exactly what made me not want to reach out to you right away. I'm like, let me.
Your timing was a lot better because I probably would have just told you to wait anyways.
Exactly. Because
that's what I was telling people, like, get back with me next week.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. For that reason, exactly what you said. I didn't want to, because this is an important issue. It's more important than a lot of people understand that it is. All right. So let me read you the tweet. This is the tweet that you made that went kind of viral, I guess, in the esports world. You said on 9/12/23, you said, and this is pretty cut and dry. I completely understood it, but a lot of people didn't. Said, I am building out channels in my Discord for the ladies' scrims on Saturday. I love and value all people. As a Christian, I believe God created people in his image as male and female. Genesis 5:1-2. Therefore, I will not be allowing trans players to participate. Now, when you made that tweet, you had to have known a little bit that some people are going to be kind of mad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew there would be some people upset with me. Now, there was going to be some kickback.
Okay, now, before we get to the next, what I want to say about that, okay? Because you knew, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that you still made the tweet, I want to congratulate you for having the courage to do that. Because we're adults. We know there's consequences for anything that we do, right?
Yeah.
Now, you quoted a scripture, right? So you're somebody that believes in God, right? That is God something, is God really, really like something you hold close to your heart? Is that really something that you're, know, you really, you know, you live your life in a way that would please God?
Yeah. I build my life on my faith as the foundation. Absolutely.
So what people need to understand, when somebody, and I'm not going to say that I believe in God, right? I could be better, right? I could go to church. I do live maybe.
We could all be better.
I do live maybe a stone throw away from a church, and I've never walked into that church. But my wife's Catholic, right? My kids are going to be brought up probably Catholic, right? I'm Mexican, so Catholicism is huge in our culture, right? Now, I live my life in a way to please God, right? I try to live, you know, as Christian like as possible. I try, all right? I'm not perfect. But what people need to understand, I have a lot of friends who do live their life for God. Everything, you know, their daily life is to be as genuine, as good-hearted person, where the Lord, if when he looks down on them, they, you know, they did their best and tried to live through what I want, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that what that entails, right? So for someone like you, when you just said that you knew, but you still did it, that means that you live your life like that. You're ready for what's to come, right? Because what you believe in. Now, one of the problems that we have right now in esports is there are more people like that. Unfortunately, they're scared to just really admit that, which is terrifying. Because when you're scared to openly say, I love God. I live my life through God. When that's cringe, or that's something that you should be ashamed to say, that's literally, like in the Bible, that's some devil shit, right? So I want to commend you for doing that. All right. Now, fast forward. You make that tweet. How soon after was it, like, was it immediate or was it a couple hours where it just started popping off?
It was pretty immediate. It was like that night. I think that it really hit the next day, right? Because it started going crazy that evening because I posted it at like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, something like that. It started going crazy and like it was, you know, midnight or whatever. And I just like set down the phone, stopped checking notifications. I went to bed. And then when I woke up the next morning, it was literally more notifications than I could possibly read through that were on my phone the next day. And it didn't stop like that whole following day. So it started pretty quickly, but it really hit me personally the following morning.
Did you have your DMs open?
My DMs are open. They just go into requested. Yeah. I'm not already following you. So like anybody can DM me, but I don't know. But DMs were
exactly I myself have been on the controversial side in the Call of Duty scene a couple times, so I can only imagine what some of those DMs are.
I don't want to lead you to believe that it was all negative.
I've had
hundreds, literally hundreds of DMs of support and encouragement. To kind of go back to your point that there are a lot of believers within gaming and esports that are afraid or don't know how to be public about their faith within this scene. And a lot of DMs from those people saying, you know, thanks for making a stand. And I've always been afraid to, you know, let people know that I'm a Christian, or I've been afraid to speak on the truth. And like, you know, I applaud your courage, you know, things like that. I've literally had hundreds of people DMing encouragement, support, prayers, scriptures, you name it. And honestly,
which is insane because, like you said, and what I know, people are scared to really say, hey, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. You understand, we're in the gaming scene. We're in the gaming, like most of what we portray online in the gaming scene, we don't even give our real names out.
Right.
We're using gamer tags. You don't know what goes on in my house after I turn and stream off. We don't know each other other than in game chat. And they're still scared to say, hey, I agree with what you said. What's going to happen if you say, oh, you're going to get some negative stuff on social media? Like, that's not the end of the world.
Right.
Like, I, you know, obviously if you're, and I guarantee you, you had a lot of people in your DMs, some notable people who make money off this scene, right? Who gave you some encouraging words. You go on their page, didn't say a damn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had that multiple times with my shit in Call of Duty, and it's sad. It's sad that we're at that point where people are scared, ashamed, and you know. Now let's talk about kind of the you know what happened. You made that tweet. When you decided to make that tweet, you were doing it because you were doing something with your Discord server. You wanted to have a space for females, and you know what you said in the tweet. You believe, and I shouldn't say believe. You know, female, male. It's what it is. It's just what it is. You guys, I'm sorry. It's what it is. All right. My wife has really soft skin. I would like to have soft skin like that. I'm a dude. It doesn't happen. All right. She smells good all the time. I smell like ass a lot of the time. She's a girl. Girls just smell better than dudes. This is what it is. Right. They don't sweat as much. It's just what it is. Now, you made that Discord server for females. Did you have somebody, a trans competitor that wanted to join the Discord, which made you like, or did you kind of already know, unless if I don't say it outright, it's going to become a problem.
Like a little bit more the second. So, I know of multiple transgender women that would normally compete in the Halo Infinite women's events. And so I kind of wanted to get out ahead of it before it became a concern, right? Like, I don't want to get to scrim day and then have to DM someone and say like, oh, you're not allowed. I don't know. I felt like it was more respectful to be upfront with where I stand and, you know, how I wanted to run things. And then people could decide then if they wanted to participate or not participate based off of that information. So it was more of me kind of like trying to get out in front of what was going to become an issue.
You also said earlier that you were kicked out of a lot of your casting jobs that you were doing.
Yes. Like basically all of them. I've had a couple of newer offers, which I have to decide if I'm going to take them up or not. But as far as what I had already established, which was a couple of upcoming tournaments, they removed me from all of those. And then the main group that I casted with, LVT Halo, they cut me for, they suspended me indefinitely or removed me. They made a public post saying they weren't going to work with me.
Yeah. And you also lost some like product affiliations, things, people that you worked with that just said, hey, did they message you, you know, in private, or did they just publicly say it?
The two companies I was working with were Advanced GG, who I had been working with them for, I want to say 6 years. And two of the years that I was working with them, I was an employee. I worked in their partnership department. I was a partnership associate. I was a partnership manager, onboarding new clients and the whole thing. So not only was I partnered with them, I was a previous employee of Advanced GG. So they DM'd me from my partnership manager, sent me a DM. And then like the main Twitter account also had DM'd me to let me know. And then Gamer Advantage was the other company that I worked with for, I think, 5 years. And they made a public statement and then DM'd me after the fact.
So obviously, you don't have to say nothing. Anybody with a brain knows that's just companies trying to go along with the, with that thinking. Like, again,
well, I think it's brands trying to save face, because what happened with all the outrage is that people were tagging them and saying, I can't believe you work with this person. And so, like, regardless of that company's opinion of me, which I'm not assuming it's positive or negative, I'm not assuming anything. They decided it was best for their brand and their company to part ways. Yeah. So,
and again, that's you know, that's part of the problem. It's what it is. It's part of the problem. It's people crumbling to, hey, this is the way it's going to be, and there's no change. It's got to be like that. This is what's accepted in our thing. And if you don't follow this, if you go against the grain, you can't do that. You're out of here. Like that's a problem. That's a problem in society, and it's a problem in our esports, period. Competitive gaming, whatever you want to call it, in gaming in general, it's a problem. You know, just the other day, you seen the LCS with their Game Changer stuff, right? You got trans, you know, esports players speaking up for women esports. That's a problem. You guys understand that's a problem. Like, I have a daughter. Okay. People need to understand why this is a big deal, and why people like you it's needed, right? If nothing happens, nobody says anything, if people keep hiding, people keep hiding behind their DMs, it's not going to be females anymore. I know this might be, you guys might get mad, and I'll clip this shit myself and put it on Twitter. I don't give a fuck. Like, I know it's not going to be females anymore. Yeah. It's going to be, in my opinion, not Magic's opinion, my opinion, it's going to be confused souls with deeper voices than me and Adam's apples bigger than mine. Okay. Running female esports. Okay. There's women out there right now, and I know I'm gonna clip this so you guys can watch this and hear this. A lot of you guys who've made leagues, made tournament, you know, host tournaments for females, all the work you're putting in, eventually you're not even gonna be wanted. This is how serious this is. All right. And if people keep hiding and doing this type of shit to someone like Magic, you're gonna have to reap what you sow. You're gonna have to lay in the bed that you made. This is it's scary, and it's very concerning, because women do belong in esports. Women, we're talking about women, all right. Earmuffs, vaginas belong in esports. All right? We got plenty of you-know-whats. We need vaginas. Sorry for using that terminology, but it is what it is. And women are work. There's a lot of women out there doing great things in esports. So that little 13-year-old girl who picked up a fucking PlayStation, PS5, who's getting a PS5 for Christmas, all right, and puts on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, even though it's a shit game, puts it on and plays and falls in love with the game, and then realize, hey, you can be an esports player. This could be something, this could be a dream of mine. I could do this, right? And then she wants to go play gets older where she can start going to events or watching events or competing online, joins a female league, and it's not females, it's all dudes. Sorry, you can't play in this. Why not? It's a female league. I'm a female. Yeah, but you're not that type of female. Sorry. That's what's going to happen. All right? That's what's going to happen. So, sorry for that rant, but we're in this weird position, right? And we're not even talking about, you know, the religious aspect of it, because just like, it's funny because we have to accept, in my opinion, we have to accept confused souls. We got to accept their opinion. We got to accept their way of thinking. But we're not allowed. Someone who believes in God, someone who says, I live my life through this Bible. This is the way I live my life. We're not allowed to accept that. Like, we're not allowed to say it, let alone accept that. That's earmuffs. That's fucked up, all right? It's fucked up. And it really bothered me when I seen everything that you were going through, right? And I'm surprised. You seem like you're cheery. Like, you're, hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
I mean, it goes back to the, like, as much as I've invested 7 years into gaming and esports, I didn't build my life on this scene. So am I invested? Do I care about gaming and esports? Do I care about the people involved? Like, yes, I do, but it's not like they didn't shake my foundation, because exactly. My foundation is in God and that, in the word of God.
That's why
people don't like that when they think that they've got, like, they don't like it when they don't have that power over you.
That's why I tell people all the time. This is why I say what I want. It's why a lot of people in the Call of Duty League, and a lot of people in the CDL, Call of Duty League, hate me. All right? They hate me. Because I can say what I want, and guess what? My mortgage is still paid, baby.
You know, I try to tell people, like, at the end of the day, like, literally, at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself.
Exactly.
You don't have to live with the opinions of other people.
Yeah.
especially hateful people who think that Twitter is real life.
It's not.
I've been amazing. Yeah. There were times when I was starting to get like down and just felt the weight of all the, like, I'll be honest, the thing that hit me the hardest was how hurting people are.
Yeah.
That they lash out in hate at something that's, you know, not hateful. They're lashing out hate against something that's not hateful because there's so much hurt in the world. And it would really weigh on me. And so what I would do is I would just like leave my phone at home and go like drive with my kids to the park, or I'd go to a soccer game, or I'd go, you know, out to lunch on a date with my husband. And sometimes just that, like, that disconnect was exactly what I needed to, like, be refreshed.
I always tell people, you know what? Y'all want Twitter, you want X, you want, like, if that's what you think is the end be all,
yeah,
have it. Go ahead and have it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and have it. Call me every word in that you want, because literally it does not. Like, I have other shit in the real world that matters. This is a side piece, passion, you know, like hobby. Yeah. This is not. And you know what? Like, still, you know, like you said, you still care about the esport. I care about esports. You care about, you know, our, you know, individual, you know, esport, Call of Duty, Halo. We care about them. But at the end of the day, if you really care about something, you want it to accept you for who you are, right? Whether they like it or not, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
All right? If you really love something and care about something, you don't change to love that. You don't.
Yeah.
That's a quote right there. It should be on a t-shirt. You don't change. You don't change to, because that's not real love. That's flawed love.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day.
And honestly, that's a big piece of what I learned from this experience was I thought I had all of these friends or fans or people cheering for me. But as soon as I, you know, took a stand for something I believe in that they disagreed with, and how quickly a lot of them, definitely not all of them, turned on me. I don't feel like I lost, you know, support or lost friends because they were never kind of, as you put it, like real,
exactly,
right? They wanted me to have a platform towards their ends and not because of, you know, them cheering for me as a person. So
exactly.
I would rather be the true version of myself and have, you know, just my family if it came down to that, instead of trying to be this like persona or this puppet that people would raise to a platform in order to be able to puppet their agendas or their ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what my job is going to be.
So now let's just say this publicly so everyone understands. Magic loves everybody.
Yes.
Believes that everybody, God forgives everybody, right? But, and just like I believe, the Lord, God, Allah, all right, whatever you believe in, we can't change the fact that there's a man and there's a female, all right? Still love you. Even if you are, in my opinion, if you're confused and you say you're this, one day you're a dude, one day you're a girl, one day you think you're in between, that's okay, but that's not what I believe in. So you cannot sit there and tell me you have to believe in what I believe in today. Just like I can't sit there and look at you and tell you you got to believe in what I believe in. But if I'm doing something on my end, I'm creating something. I'm creating something of my own and say this is what I want in there. How can you get mad at me telling you, hey, this is mine, okay? This is mine. This is what I want in there. And if you're the opposite of that, it doesn't make any sense to be mad, okay? Especially when the person says, I love everybody, but this is for this. And that's for that over there. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, enough of the bullshit. Magic, I want to thank you for coming on here. Sure. Again, you're somebody now in it. There's only, I'm going to be honest with you. All right. There's maybe a handful of people in esports, period, that I think are like stand behind what they believe in. Right. And you've joined that club. Okay. And I want to congratulate you for, you know, and again, I'm going to say some for being about your shit. All right. Being about your shit. A lot of people say they're about this, about that. And when it comes down to it, they fold. Okay. And the fact that we're even having this conversation and talking about this over something that, I mean, any normal person would say, okay, what? Like, what, you know, it just, it's insane. But that situations like this come along, need to come along every once in a while so we can really see who's really with us, who really like values my thoughts, values me as a friend or quote unquote friend, right? And I just want to say congratulate you on that. That's something that a lot of people, and we've seen it, a lot of people, they're not willing to put themselves out there, right? So thank you for that. Thank you for that.
I appreciate it.
What do you got going? So before we get off, what do you got going? You got anything coming up that we should know about? You've been streaming a lot more, have you? Or you always stream?
Yeah. No, I've been streaming. I mean, maybe not necessarily more, but I'm continuing streaming. Played some ranked Halo, you know, earlier tonight. Trying to grind my way to Onyx. I'm in Diamond 4 right now, so a couple of levels away, but not too bad. And then, you know, honestly, like I don't have a long-term plan right now. Yeah. You know, I'm spending more time with my family, right? Because I'm not committing to 10, 12 hour broadcasts on the weekends anymore. And I'm kind of taking it one day at a time. So I do have some things that are in the works. They're just not ready to be like announced yet. So, you know, just trying to find a new path forward.
What's your, shout out your stream right now. What's your stream? Where do you stream at?
Yeah, Magic Moonshot. So M-A-G-I-C-K and then the word Moonshot. I also have a new Kick channel, which is Moonshot Arcade. So a little bit of a different brand over on the Kick side. That's brand new. I've only done one stream over there, but just kind of testing the waters.
We got to get you on Kick more, Magic. Yeah. All right, that's the spot. That's the spot.
Moonshot Arcade, come through.
There you go. Do you have any any new product brands that you're working with? You got anything in the works like that, or right now you're just kind of?
I'm in talks with a coffee brand, Coffee. I asked them to send me over some sample product first because I never promote a product until I've tried it for myself first. It's just kind of like a rule that I made for myself. So I'm testing out some of their product, and then we'll see. So we're kind of in talks with that, but honestly, I'm kind of acting a little bit independently right now, just to try to stabilize.
Yeah.
I've had offers from different orgs or different gigs, et cetera, that I've just turned down just because it's just the timing didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just kind of doubling down on my own brand.
That's good. So, you know, there's more of us out there than people think, you know? So, again, I want to say thank you for coming on. And more importantly, thank you for just being you and just believing in what you believe in, standing up for what you believe in. All right.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people won't say that publicly. I'll say that all day, every day, because it's very important. It's very important to have people in this space, especially with these new generations coming up. Yeah. Very important to have people like you in this space where be yourself. Just be yourself. You're not wrong for the way you think. That way or this way, you're not wrong. But don't be afraid to be who you are. Just like they tell you over there, don't be afraid to be who you are. Over here on this side, don't be afraid to be who you are. There's nothing wrong. And you know what? We're people like you, sometimes people like me, because I go back and forth. We're going to try to break that wall down of anger and emotion. Because guess what? All you, you know, activists and all you, you know, all you do you quote unquote hurt people who are calling Magic a transphobe or whatever? Guess what? She's still gonna pray for you. Guess what? God will still forgive you for all that bullshit you were talking. Just keep that in mind. Magic, appreciate you stopping by the stream. Try Hard Podcast listeners, go ahead and drop Magic a follow on Twitter. You guys know her Twitch. See you guys next episode. All right, we out to the bitch. Peace.